Today's scripture reading is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1 and 13 to 25. Freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The words of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Anna. I was about to call an audible and she caught me. I love it, being part of a team. She's so awesome. So, called to freedom. I want to share and introduce to you two people who have been called in this church into leadership positions, and I'm going to let Jenny Bounds and Kathy Huff tell you the story of annual conference. It is in our understanding that those who attend annual conference come back from it and give you a report so that you know what's going on with We United Methodists. So I give the floor to them for these moments.
Thank you. Jenny and I were honored to attend annual conference this year. The annual conference was held at the Convention Center in St. Charles. It was earlier this month, the month of June. The theme for the conference was Illumine, Be the Light. Back up one to Illumine. Maybe. You get to see all the slides. Anyway, it's the theme that's on our shirts. So we're on the right track. You know, we've been talking about being the light here. And so that was our theme for the conference. We all received a T-shirt, as you can tell, with the logo. The first slide you see on the screen highlights the Illumine theme. There were about 900 folks there, just like you and me, representing their United Methodist churches from all across Missouri. We worshiped together. We shared communion together. We were overwhelmed, I think it's fair to say, with all the information that the conference has to offer. We heard messages of inspiration. We celebrated new pastors being ordained. We celebrated pastors retiring, and we celebrated those pastors who passed away during the year. We also voted on business matters relating to the conference. Most of those had to do with racial equality and justice. I selected some informational slides from all of the information that we had. So once you kind of take a look at these, if you want to jot down some websites, to do a little research on your own. There's just so much information out there available to us. The first slide, well, we're kind of going through them all, is stay connected with the conference. find us online, www.moumethodist.org. It's a great spot to start. The second slide is absorb. I was quite taken with this one. There are classes free available that you might be interested in taking. The third slide also has to do with resources through the United Methodist Church. And then the last slide I wanted you to see, or the fourth slide, has to do with the UMCOR disaster relief. And this church does so much during our serve and our other things that we do to help the community. Just wanted you to see that that is a part of our United Methodist identity, I think, to be a part of that. Told Marcia, I was going to give her a heads up, changing gears just a little bit. We did celebrate some retirements, including Marcia's. Did you know she was retired? Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? As is the case in the 2000s, in the years of the 2000s, a lot of people continue to work when they retire, right? So Marcia celebrated 22 years of service. And also Barbara McKenzie celebrated retiring this year with 19 years of service. And my great photography skills, I didn't get Marcia's picture with her thing up there that had her name, but I did get her finally in the picture. She's there on the left. So thank you, Marcia, for all you do. We're just tickled to have you here. Now I'd like to give Jenny a moment to share some ministry highlights of the conference.
Kathy gave you some of the technical things. I wanted to bring you up to date on what the spirit of the conference was. And first of all, what Kathy said is there is so much information. I mean, you cannot believe it. And if you are not getting this magazine, you need to be. This is the Missouri Methodist. You can get it. It's free. You can get it online or you can have it mailed to you. And if you got this magazine, you would know these things. But do you know the things that are happening in our church? Did you know that we're opening 17 new Methodist churches in the new conference year? The conference year is July 1st to July 1st, because that's when pastors are ordained, get assigned churches, moving. That the business year of the Methodist Church is July 1st to July 1st. 17 new churches are going to be opening this year. There are 19 international pastors serving in Missouri. The summer youth camp at Central Methodist has been expanded to 2 weeks to accommodate 1,000 youth who will be attending. A donor has seeded a $100,000 new ministry between Missouri and Peru. The Mozambique ministry will mark a 40th anniversary next year. Missouri is one of the leading givers to global projects. And Missouri is establishing an emergency relief agency that will have trailers and trained teams in 5 areas of the state to meet local emergencies, weather emergencies mainly. It's like a little UMCOR, but it's strictly for the state of Missouri. And if you got this magazine, you would know all of that. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what our theme was. It is, as Kathy says, Elum, and Elum is a word. It is not a noun. It is not an agency we're going to be donating to. It is not a Bible study that we're going to be doing. Elum is a verb. And we all remember from our English classes, a verb is an action word. So this is be the light. So for this church and for every single one of us in this church, this is what the bishop is expecting of this year. I want to tell you, his opening speech was absolutely incredible. I was blown away. And I want to read some things that he said in quotes so I don't misquote him. But first he said that our periods of silence has ended, that this country is not treating our neighbors well. This is anti-biblical and anti-Christ. Quote, we can't remain silent. We're going to have to confront harmful practices. Being silent in the face of injustice comes at a terrible cost to the world and to ourselves. And he went on to talk about the church has to be different from the culture. All church work should be hung on the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor. And I was glad to see on the screen before the service started that we had the new Missouri Conference vision statement for the year. The Missouri Annual Conference equips pastors and lay leadership to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in the local community. His charge to us was to let's be the most loving church we can be. I deeply believe that the church is still the hope of the world. It's time for United Methodist to be United Methodist. So how are you going to be the light this year? This church is not a dying church. We have so many opportunities to be working in our community to make better lives for everyone. We could spend 3 sermons talking about the activities that this church is doing. Within our church, we're doing a beautiful concert Wednesday night. It's free. It's open to the community. The promo team has done a fabulous job of having posters, having ads, things posted in the socials, in the paper, on Facebook. How many of you have told your neighbors about it? Did you tell your barber about it? Did you tell your hairdresser about it? Did you tell your neighbor about it? This requires all of us to be participants in this. We're thinking of new ways to use our playground. This is a wonderful property we have in a valuable part of the city. So we're trying to come up with some new ideas on how to use it for the public good. And if you have some ideas for that, write it on the back of your attendance card. Tell somebody. We want your input. We have a group that is looking very hard at our children's ministry. And we do have kids in this church. I don't want to hear anybody say we don't have children in this church. We've seen the last couple Sundays, we have kids in this church. And so we want to know from parents and grandparents, than any of you, what you see as the future for these kids. Many of these children were baptized in this church, and as a congregation, we made a pledge to serve them with a loving community and learning the love of God and how to be kind to others. And we haven't been doing a very good job of it. So we're going to do better with that. So when we ask you to help, we want your hearts to be open to say yes. And I'm not going to close with a scripture, Pastor Marcia, I apologize, but I want to close with an excerpt from a poem from Leonard Cohen called Anthem. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So go, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. That's what I came home from annual conference with.
Well, there we go. I guess we can pray and go home. Wow, thank you so much. It was so fitting that I love what God does when we are open to it. There have been so many stories that I could share with you this week. It's just my prayer every night when I laid down was, please don't let me mess this up, because I do believe God is doing a mighty work in this place. Our scripture today has to do with Paul writing to a church in Galatia. And church had gotten a little sideways, listening to the world. Listening to the world as what was okay and what was acceptable. And he was trying to encourage them to understand that that is not the way of God. It is not the way of Jesus Christ. It is not the way of the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So he's pretty straightforward in what he says you're not supposed to do. Did you catch all those things? Ooh, he knew some words, didn't he? Yikes. And he said, this is what you are not supposed to do. And so we could go over those till the cows come home. But I'd like to focus on what he said, the whatever the fruit of the Spirit is. And you know what's really sweet about that? One of the really smart people that I love to read, they had a beautiful thing. We have so many United Methodist resources. If you will Google United Methodist dot whatever, they have amazing resources. And I just want to read a little piece from one of our authors on that website from this last week. It says, here on the cusp of the celebration of Independence Day in the United States, freedom is ever before us. Freedom is an abstract, freedom as a concept. We believe in freedom, we claim. We fought for it. We sacrificed for freedom. It's a powerful statement, a patriotic declaration. But it begs the question, freedom for what? Well, of course, our answer is usually something like what we want. Can I get an amen? Oh, y'all, quiet now. Come on now. Except that doesn't really work for those of us who have chosen to follow Christ. Of course, you can argue that when our wills are perfectly aligned with Christ, then whatever he wants is what he would want us to do. And the author says, true, I can't argue with that. But then how are we aligned? Maybe we need something a little more directive, a little more transformative. Let's ask again, what are we called to freedom for? We'll let that set a minute. My grandma always said, you got to let it sit with your scripture sometimes just a little bit, because we tend to want to jump to right what we're thinking. Have you ever noticed that about us? Why, yes. See, because the word freedom is not the word called to freedom. As I prayed about this and I've read that, I bet you I've read that sentence. I can't tell you how many times, because this is what God does in me. The word was called for me. Freedom is kind of a word that baffles me when people say they're doing what they are doing because it's America and we're free to do what we want. Yikes. I tend to go, oh, it's America. I'm free to do what I want. But that word called really just stays with me. In the last several months, I knew I was called to be doing something different. Just because of the way the church is set up, I'm going to be retirement age. The church is going in a wonderful direction, and yet two pastors is a lot for a church to support financially. You know that, right? Okay. So back in October, I said to leadership, I said, you know, we're going to need to make a change here because I want to do that. Could I hang on to this position? Yes, I could have. I'm serving in retirement right now. But I knew that was not what I thought God was calling me to do. So I kind of sat back and went, okay, God, now, okay, you've called me out of something. But I hadn't felt him call me into something yet. See, God will call you out of weird stuff, and you got to wait a minute and figure out what he's called you into. There's a lot of that going on around here, in case you hadn't noticed. People being called out of and called into something else. So I hadn't figured out the called into. Well, until about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. And then I went, oh, okay. I kind of felt like I was called to two small rural churches. And God said, seriously, Marcia, you go figuring, trying to make my plans. That's not my plan for you. And so I am blessed to be here. This is my last Sunday here. Traditionally, this would have been my last Sunday here, and I would have been called to the two small rural churches. And God had other plans. He helped me understand what I was called out of, and now he has called me into this. And I am grateful. Please be gentle. If I do something that you go, man, that was weird, feel free to tell me about it. Not today, though, please. Call me tomorrow. We'll have lunch. I'll buy. because it is a season of incredible newness. an opportunity. That's what I felt when I knew I was called out to go elsewhere. And now that I'm called here, that is my call. I realize that's my call. My call is wherever I go, I'm always looking for something that's an opportunity to celebrate the love of a God through Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's always going to be my call. It sounds pretty simple, but that's my call. Now, yeah, I need your help doing that because I'm pretty fallible. So when you see something that your heart just goes, I really honestly, in the last probably 2 weeks, there's not enough airtime for me to tell you the stories of people that have come to me and said this or that or this. And every new piece of ministry that's going to fall into place in the next weeks, months. I thought I had 6 to 8 weeks to get ready for the new pastor. I really did. And then I figured out it was me. And I went, oh, this is going to be really interesting. So that gives us more time to get ready. I am serving in retirement for 1 year. That's all pastors are. We're reappointed every year. But my goal is that when the next person comes, they're just going to go, wow, and have to seatbelt in to hang on to what you all are doing. Can I get an amen? All right, because we got some stuff that we are called to do. And we are called. I love that, the fruits of the Spirit. What if we laid every single thing we did in this church down with, oh, look at him. Look at him helping me out. Aren't you the best? I actually memorized this. There was a piece in here that said, we've all memorized this from Sunday school. And I thought, I didn't in Sunday school. I was eating snacks. I'd like to tell you I was chasing boys, but I wasn't. I wanted to drive their cars, but I didn't want to chase them. Anyway. But I learned this at a church camp because I loved to use the volunteer church camp. What if we laid every single thing we did in our ministry and our lives by these words? Is there love in it? Is there joy in it? Sometimes people will say, well, I will do that for you. No, I don't want you to say it that way. I want you to say, yeah, I'll do that for you. That's how that works for me. If you practice it, yeah, I'll do that for you. Yeah, I'll do that for you. I'm going to keep saying it till somebody answers me. Yeah, I'll do that for you. And peace. What if we felt like what we were doing was to call us into a peaceful place? Forbearance. Now that's patience. I learned it, patience. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I like that one. Goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I always thought it would have been better if he'd put self-control first. But it wasn't the way it was. But what if every single thing we did in our ministry and in our personal lives, what if we were called to lay whatever we did with those words? Wow, what would that look like? Friends, we are called. We are called by an amazing God, a creator of the heavens and earth. We are called by a Jesus Christ who is our Redeemer. We are called to walk and be in light with the Holy Spirit who is our guide. Somebody smile. Whew, it feels good. We are blessed to be in this place and have this place. We are blessed to look at one another and go, we are on the same team. Now, I read a sentence this last week. It calls for unity. Boy, unity's hard, isn't it? We are called as United Methodists to be unity, right? But that does not mean uniformity. I'm not like you. You're not like me. We all have different mother-in-laws. Oh, no, that was totally my... Somebody gave that expression to me a long time ago, and I've used it way too many times. But I went, dude, that's really powerful and truthful. We all have different things we are called to and called to be. You're going to figure it out. Because I've been praying for every single one of you since May 11th. Your name is on a list. And I put my finger in and you've been prayed for. Because you are called, I'm called, we are called to show the community and the worldwide connection the love of God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So now I'm going to share a really fun thing that we're called. Deborah, would you come forward with us? Deborah feels like, and she is called, and we are blessed. Deborah's going to join the church today. Somebody go yay.
Oh, it was off. See, I never turn it off. I'm lazy. I'm called to be lazy in some things. Not everything, I promise you. Deborah, come here. Elizabeth, come here. Elizabeth Davis, come here. She's going, oh no. You're called, Elizabeth. Oh yeah. Oh, she said she didn't have to bother her. Come on, everybody bother somebody right now. Put your hand on them. Put your hand on everybody. Bother them. This is how we bother each other. We bother each other like this. Elizabeth was so sweet and kind of put a bug in my ear, and I'm grateful for that. Sometimes, you know, pastors, we get two or three things in our brains, and sometimes things slip off our radar. So be patient with us. Be kind. Remind us, okay? So I'm going to invite you all to be part of this, because you have to be. What we're doing is, in the age-old custom, I'm going to let you hold on to that. She's got her very own pretty little certificate. Isn't that great? So, friends, this is in the United Methodist Hymnal, and you don't need to get yours out. It is, oh, look at her. You're the best. Okay. Let's see. Let those who are members of other congregations, which she was at Phillipsburg, but now she's coming to us. Everybody go, yay. Of the United Methodist Church, who now desire to enter into fellowship of this congregation, she is presenting herself to be welcomed, because that's what we're doing. We are going to say to you that we are welcoming. And will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and this United Methodist Church? Uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. If so, say, I will.
I will.
She will. She's been back to sit and being so sweet, supporting all this time. So now to you all, I'm going to say these words. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care Debbie Smith, whom we this day receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. If you will, say, I will. Could you say it louder? Oh, that was really good. Give God some glory for Debbie. Yay. Thank you, Deb. Thank you. And I'm hopeful that we'll get a picture of her, because I want one. This has been an amazing morning. I'm going to tell you, you don't even know some of the amazement that's happened this morning. And we don't have time, because we're out of time. Are we out of time? Oh, gosh, we're out of time. I want to say hi to everybody who's watching. I had an interesting conversation with somebody that I didn't exactly know was watching us. And they said, we love watching that. And I went, woo! So I just want to say a shout out to everybody that's watching online and grateful that you're here today. Do you think we've done everything we need to do to praise God? I'm glad you're here today. So we're going to have, are you ready for this? The song is Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus. So you cannot sit down.